Hi, welcome back to Eye to Eye, a weekly podcast talk show all about passion, flow, and creativity. So while the topic may change, the heart behind it remains the same. I'm your host, Aaron Holman, and my very special guest today is...
Sugar Cane!
Well, Sugar, I'm so happy you could join us today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to chat with you guys and yeah, just have a good time today.
Well, let's go ahead and dive right in. Sugar Cane, you know them. They came to prominence on season 11 of RuPaul's Drag Race, coming in seventh place, delivering some absolutely astounding moments in that. But just to start things off, what are your preferred pronouns, Sugar? And can you describe yourself in your own words?
Absolutely. You know, as Sugar, she, her, hers, the whole thing, I think that... That works. Describe myself. Well, I'd like to say that now I am no longer an old lady. I am a middle-aged woman.
No. Yes!
Girl, I've been on this young tip, girl. So she's a young thing who's out here just living her life and trying to spread love across, you know, the world.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all Sugar is. I mean, she's more than that, obviously. But in a nutshell, that's, you know, spreading love and positivity is who I'm all about.
I absolutely echo that sentiment. That's, you know, the whole reason I do things like this is it's the connecting and learning from people, you know, spreading positivity.
Absolutely. And we need it mm-hmm. so bad right now. So it's such a beautiful thing that this is a wonderful podcast. So
well, thank you.
Kudos to you for, you know, putting this out in the world.
Well, thanks. It is hard to create. But I think, yeah, like you were saying, it's very important during times like these to continue on in your creative endeavors. It's very important that you do, listeners. It's very important. So you're a drag queen. You're also a baker. I have found out you are also a musician. Let's go ahead and start at the beginning. Which passion came first?
Singing came first. That was the first and foremost thing ever since I was like a baby. I've just musicals and singing was something that I've always just loved and saw myself doing. So, you know, as I got older, I wanted to do all this, but, you know, you got to pay your bills and stuff. So, I started to study computer science.
Very different.
It's so crazy. But yeah, music came first. You know, it happened later on in life that I actually got to like study it. So I went to school for opera, of all things. I have a bachelor's degree and a master's degree in applied voice.
I know. From DePaul? That's incredible. It's a wonderful school.
From DePaul University. Yes. It's amazing. I love Chicago. I spent my undergrad in Wisconsin, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and it's beautiful there. I really love the Midwest. So I was in the Midwest for a long time, and Chicago's just such an amazing city. They have such an incredible arts and culture, like this beautiful, like, artistic community there that is unrivaled. It's really pretty beautiful. So yeah, I did that. Singing came first. Singing has always been my thing. And, you know, I did opera for a while and, you know, did some musical theater.
Now, I find that fascinating. Now, when is the first time that you did musical theater? And when did you decide to study that in school? What helped you make that decision?
Yeah, so I think I had always done musical. I'd always wanted to do musical theater, and it was the opera that was a surprise to me. I was in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. I had moved there with a previous partner, and you know, I had been kind of dabbling in. I had was living in Santa Cruz before. I was dancing, and mm-hmm. I was taking some voice lessons. So I was already kind of like it was as an adult, like realizing that it was an option for me to kind of like really delve in. I'd found out the University of Eau Claire, Wisconsin was the singing university of the Midwest. and so I was like, let me try an audition here. Girl, I don't even know what I sang. I can't even tell you. I don't even know how or why they picked it. I mean, obviously, you know, maybe I can understand why, but like, I literally was like, had no training. I literally was like, oh, let me just sing the song. And it was amazing, you know, but like the first 2 years I had this conversation today with somebody. I was fighting with my professor. She was the head of the vocal department. We fought. Like for 2 years because I hated opera.
Yeah.
I was terrible. I was a brat. She would play the most beautiful art songs by Schubert, and just, I mean, and she would say, she would tell me, she goes, "You think this is ugly music?" And I'd be like, "Yeah,
it's like a little boring."
I wanted to sing Rent at the time. I mean, I wanted to sing like all the musical stuff, but we had gone to the Minnesota Opera, and I had seen this beautiful opera called Don Carlo, and it was like this crazy like drama. I mean, it was a soap opera. It was 3.5 hours long. The girls were just like throwing themselves on the floor, singing at the top of their lungs, just because they're, you know, ready to die because their lover is in love with someone else.
Wow.
And I was at the edge of my seat, and I was like crying, and I was like, this is the most beautiful art form. And after that, like, I was sold. I was like committed to opera. And that was, I just went in. So
like, what surprised you about doing it? I mean, besides the fact that you found yourself studying specifically opera, once you got into it, what was that like?
I'm a glutton for punishment. I like things that are really difficult. I make things way too hard for myself. and it was a challenge. I love that it was all art forms like this, but like opera, like, it's something that you can always strive to be better. You're striving to be perfect. Like, as an opera singer, like, you can't go on the Met stage and be flat. Like, you can't go out there and not know the history of the art, or the song, the opera, the character, all of the character studies, but then also like the, you know, there's certain passages that you have to do that everyone's been doing for like,
yeah,
for years and years and years. And so it was just, I loved the study of it, like studying the character, studying the languages, like being able to just really just devote yourself to something and just really try and perfect it. I loved that. I mean, it was hard. It was so hard, but like, that was something that I lived for it.
Enjoying like all those technical aspects. I mean, then opera is absolutely perfect, because you're right. It's so difficult that you have to stay on that practice. Your voice has to stay in such good health. I remember I went to a small Methodist college in Louisiana called Centenary, and it had a wonderful music program, but the music school and the theater school were very separate, you know, different minds. And the people who were in the music school, because I was building my own path of musical theater, those opera people, they are dedicated, and
we're the worst, honey. Yeah. We are the worst. I mean, like, look, we are like judgy as judgy can be. Like, we are like, oh, did you hear her that one note? She missed that note, or she was flat, or like, oh, she's trying to be the, like, I mean, it was so crazy. Like, we just, it's such this elitist kind of thing, but like, you know, when it comes down to it, the people who can throw down, I'm like, okay, I see why you're like all elitist.
They're like, I trained to get right here.
100%. Oh yeah. It was a trip, but I, you know, I loved it. I don't know. I'm a chameleon. I really can. I just kind of like move between groups, and I've always been like that, and like, you know, I get along with everyone, and so it was just fascinating. I miss it a lot. I sing a little bit here and there, and now that we've been in quarantine, I've been kind of picking it up again, and so it's exciting to revisit, you know, a passion.
That's awesome.
that I've had. Yeah.
So I mean, you loved it enough to get the master's in it. What is a master's in applied voice? What's the difference between that and like having just gotten the bachelor's?
It's the study. It's much more intense. Your vocal, you're really delving into like different characters. You're starting to understand like your Fach, like, which is your voice type. You're starting to do like little characters. So at the time, it was weird, because at the time they were fluctuating. Everyone thought I was a tenor, but I was clearly a baritone. But then
they need you to be a tenor though.
Girl, they tried me for one trimester, girl. I was trying to sing Ferrando and Così fan tutte, and like, girl, I was crazy. The runs were wild. My other classmates would laugh at me, because we'd be on stage and I'd just be like trying to do these runs, and they would just die laughing. We'd be laughing the entire time. So I was like, I'm not a tenor. But like, yeah, it's really the intensity of the study. You really are you're studying those characters, you're really studying the languages. You want to you can kind of just dabble in your undergrad, right? Like, but you want to be proficient in the technique, proficient in your languages, and being able to pick anything up and understand it and translate it and put the meaning behind it. It's definitely much more intense. And I lived for it. Yeah, girl. After that, then I was like, let me get my PhD. Like, I was on the course. I was about to do the PhD program. I was applying, and then I kind of decided, I was like, let me take a break from school and apply to apprenticeship programs, because that's the trajectory, right? Like, if you don't go straight into your doctorate, then you start to apply to like the Santa Fe Opera House or the Met or the Lyric, and trying to get in these programs. And if you can believe this, I auditioned for everyone in the country. Like, I was all over the place. And every single one of them was like, no, you're really young. They're like, you're very musical theater. Like, have you really thought about, like, maybe music? Everyone was like, you a little more musical theater. Girl, when I told you, I thought I was going to freak out. I was like, I spent all this time, and like, all you all now telling me I'm all musical theater.
It's like, why didn't anybody say this before?
Yes!
Like, what's what?
No, but like, you know, opera, you do it for the foundation, you do it for the technique. So,
and it's something you will carry with you for, I mean, the rest of your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, that actually brings us into the fact that you're creating music now. Today is September 1st. You have released a new song, Sweet Love, with an accompanying music video. Talk about that experience. Yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful tune. I've had it on repeat for a couple of days now.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I appreciate it. It's, you know, I've always been said that I'm a singing queen, and everyone's like, where's the music? Where's the music? And it didn't feel right. I don't like to be forced to do things, right? Like, as an artist, you want to feel the inspiration and you want to be ready for it. And music to me is it's a sacred thing, right? Like, it's very special to me. And so I didn't want to just kind of come out and put something crazy out for the sake of putting something out, right? Like,
right.
And so
it had to be music that you felt and that you were behind.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. You know, and not to say like, so I just, it was the time. It was the time. And, you know, it was right before the pre-COVID, it was at the beginning of the year. I was talking to some folks and just happened to be in LA. And I was talking to my manager, Jason. He's like, I know these couple guys, you should chat with them. And so I went over to this guy, Darren Burgos and Paula Ramirez. And they had just put up like a track for me, and we're sitting in the studio and listening to it. And I'm crazy. I'm like, take everything out. Just give me the beat. Like, so we spent like hours, and I just, at the end of the session, I just left with the beat. And they had done all this work, and I'm sure they were like, who is this queen? Does she think she's rolling up in here? And so I sat with that beat for like a week, and it was weird because I still was resistant. It was hard, and I almost canceled the last session. When I tell you, it was an hour before I was supposed to be there, and I was at a Starbucks, and I was like, you need to sit down, you need to listen to this track, and you need to figure it out. And within an hour, like, I literally was like pacing in WeHo. Mm-hmm. And I came up with the melody of the chorus, the verse, and kind of started the chorus. I wrote the first verse, and I took it to the guys, and they were like, oh my God, this is so great. And then we
So
just,
wait,
like,
you really had just like the beat, and like what you were trying to work out was the words and the melody? Like, it wasn't there yet?
Well, I should say it was the beat, like, in a small bass line, the bass line. So it kind of, there was a chord structure in there, right?
Yeah, you could hear.
And so, like, I kind of knew where the key was. And they had given me a minor key. And I was like, chicken don't sing in minor. So I was like, how can I liven this up? So I came up with just, like, a melody that was in a major key. And, it was crazy. Like, it was fun. And then we went back to the studio, and we just kind of started bouncing ideas around and, like, playing with it and really kind of finessing it. And, I hate to say this, but I'm going to say this. The vocals that are on the track are literally my scratch vocals. I had been drinking. I had been smoking, girl. We had just been chilling in WeHo. I was like, oh, I can always record this later. And we just went in there and recorded it. And at the end of the day, we
just kept it. If it works, it works.
You know, it does. But it was such a fun process. It was a long process. We had originally slated it for Memorial Day weekend for a summer track. We were going to shoot it in Palm Springs in the desert. Like, it was like this crazy thing. And then the whole world just like, just turned upside down. We worked on it during the pandemic. We were, you know, over Zoom, we were trying to listen to track. The tracks were like all crazy. And it was, I would say it saved my mental and emotional self during this wild time. We had something to focus on. It was something creative. I'm very grateful that, you know, I got to do that with these amazing people.
The music video, which, like I said, did come out today as well. It was directed by Julian Roca Chow, assistant directed by one Miss Honey Davenport.
Yes!
That's so cool. I didn't know that she did that.
Yeah, she was, she's just started, she's been directing a couple of things, and I had been chatting with her, and I was like, for this piece, I just wanted to bring in people that I respected, people that I admire, people that are, that I just wanted to work with. And so with the whole pandemic, a lot of us weren't really doing anything. And so it was just fun to get my friends together and be like, hey, let's create something. And I'm so proud of it. Like, I can't believe we did this, like, with the state of everything. Yeah. It's fun. So yeah, Honey was a part of it, and it was just so great. She brought on a bunch of her team from here in New York. Yeah, it's great. I mean, I can't say enough about...
Well, what's the concept of the video? Can you talk about that? Because, like, I was watching it. I've watched it probably, like, half a dozen times today. And, like, I was watching it, and there's a part where it seems like you might go into a fantasy sort of sequence. Like, daze yourself. And I'm just, like, wondering, what's that? What's the tarot about? Tell me a little bit about the concepts that are presented.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I think the concept of the video... the concept of the song, how does it go? Like, the song is all about love, like love on a dance floor and just like being uninhibited and being free.
God, I miss that.
We don't have that, right? Like, I think it just, everything was so crazy. And I was like, what just brings me so much joy? And it was like, it's dancing. I love dancing. And it didn't matter if it was a love interest or your friend, your best friend. Like, you just had this moment where it was just like pure joy, pure fun, pure freedom. And so that was like, actually how I met my fiance. And so those feelings and those moments, but then also like our first meeting was on the dance floor. And so like I wrote about him and our first time, and just like, just these, it's just all about beautiful moments that just come and go. It can be lasting. It can be, you know, a short 3-minute song that you have a connection with someone, but it's those beautiful connections between people that really kind of keep us alive. And so we use the lyrics for the song. Because of the pandemic, I was crazy. I'm like, so I'm a hypochondriac girl. Like, you could be in that other building and I'm like, am I gonna get corona? Like, I'm freaking out. So I was like, we have to shoot this all outside. It needs to be outside. The kids gotta be masked. I was like, what can we do? So we came up with this idea of like, there's a present day Suga, and she's in this present day life. And we started to pull in things that I love. I love tarot, and it's something I've done since I was like in my 20s. So we're like, how can we bring this in? So Julian came up with this concept about like, what if, you know, you were giving yourself a tarot reading? Like, you know, you ran into this tarot card reader on the street, and she's giving you a reading, and she's telling you, you know, you're going to find love. That's the opening sequence. And then as I leave her, there's this guy that walks by me, and I'm like, oh my God, who is that? The whole thing is like, I'm checking him out, so much so that I'm not paying attention, and I hit a pole. I knock myself out. And so, then I get into this dream sequence where, you know, I'm just daydreaming about him, but it's about falling in love with him. And so I turn into this like fierce, like queen who's just uninhibited. She's the commander of her own world.
She's like a magic witch. Like,
yes, she was
fantastic,
like
casting them spells.
Like, yeah, you know. So I turned it into like it was supposed to be a post-apocalyptic world, but it didn't really go there. We were trying to put that in. It's funny how that shit worked out. We were like, this didn't really work. But so I get into this dream world. I fall down this rabbit hole, much like Alice in Wonderland. And, you know, I have this moment with this, this love interest. And
you two had great chemistry in the video. And yay! Knowing that that was based on, you know, like the love story of you and your fiance, like coming together, it totally channeled through. Like it absolutely did.
These kids are, they're my friends. They're really good friends of mine. All the dancers, like they're my babies. I love them so much. So I was laughing. We're laughing because we're dancing and we're supposed to be leveragers. But he's like one of my really good friends. And I'm like, you're like one of my Judies. We're over here just trying to like get on each other and stuff. It was cute. But yeah, so like I wake up and he's there. He helps me and we just like connect and have this connection, start dancing. And then it's just the beginning of a story.
Welcome to All Gay Long. I'm Shannon.
And I'm Nikki.
And this is a podcast all about open and honest conversations all day long.
All gay long. Yeah, so we're going to have chats about our lives, all things LGBTQ, and giving our often unwanted opinion on what's happening in the world right now. Follow us wherever you listen to podcasts and subscribe and follow us to stay up to date on our weekly episodes.
We are All Gay Long and we really hope you join us on this journey and we will see you all soon. Bye!
The one other storyline that's happening is the tarot reader. Like, she's just kind of this magical being and unbeknownst to us, she's the mastermind behind it, right? Like, so she's like, oh, I see love in your future, and she's magical, and she kind of crafts the whole thing. It's like her, it's a weird story. I don't even know how this came out. I was like, I love magic. Give me some Charmed or some CW. Yes. Like, I am all about this. I was like, can I be a magical witch? And so she ends up being like the orchestrator. So she's kind of orchestrating this whole sequence with me. And that's why you see her at the end kind of cackling because she's like, oh, she made another love connection is kind of her thing. She's just spreading like love. And so, yeah, it's crazy. It's silly. It's fun. It's just a beautiful, fun little piece.
Yeah, it's really incredible. quite a great dance hit. Like I said, it's been stuck in my head. It's very good. I especially love your chorus, you know.
Thank you.
It's super, super fun. Make sure to check it out, listeners. That's available on Sugar Cane's official YouTube, Instagram. Have you uploaded it there yet?
She's everywhere. The single, like Amazon, Google, iTunes, like Deezer. I don't even know what Deezer is, but it's on Deezer.
Who's she?
Who knows, but she's hopefully giving me a paycheck.
That's what we're looking for. So to go into another passion of yours, Suga, obviously drag is a big passion because it has opened up so many doors for you. The first time that I became aware of you in drag was on Max Emerson's short-lived show, The Drag Baby Series. And you know what? I'm telling you, I clocked it when I saw you on that. I was like, I swear she's on next season then. Like, that's that right there, that's a queen to watch, honey. Because it was, I believe it was Peppermint, hosted by Bob, and then Chi-Chi Devane was there, and yourself. Talk about that. How did that come up?
That was a dream. I will forever be thankful and grateful to Miss Naomi Smalls because she was actually supposed to be in it. And I don't know what happened. I don't know the details. She couldn't go. And so I knew one of the young producers who was on the show. He's like, hey, he's like, can you come down? Like, we're shooting this thing. I literally had like 2 hours to get ready and be at the YouTube studios in Chelsea. And I was like, yes, absolutely. So I just rolled on down there. I got into drag. We're doing this thing. We shot all day. It was a blast. And then I noticed something. The energy shifted. And they were kind of like, ooh. They're like, well, actually, they stopped filming me. And they had me just kind of wait. I think Naomi was coming back. And so they were kind of like, they didn't really know what to do. And so
like,
I was like, oh, no. I was like, don't come back. Ultimately, I guess she didn't. And they were like, we have her sugar here. We'll just use her. And it was amazing. It was for MAC Cosmetics. No one knew who I was. Like, I'm just this queen from New York City, just living my little life. And like, to be with like Bob and Peppermint, I mean, like, and Chi-Chi, like these amazing queens who I looked up to and just absolutely adored. And like with MAC Cosmetics, I mean, it was everything. Yeah, it was so much fun.
Well, you served me. You were so funny and so personable that I was like, wow, this is a star. This is a queen.
Thank you. And I'm grateful too, because I put that thing in my audition tape. I was like, RuPaul ain't the only queen who did something with Mac.
Oh, I love it.
It was cute, yeah.
A question, I think the number one question, because I did pool the internet for some things. The number one question everybody had for you is, what was the driving factor behind you leaving your six-figure salary job to take the risk of becoming a drag queen full-time? What happened there?
It was a lifelong culmination, right? Like, I think I've always wanted to sing. I've always wanted to perform, and being an artist is like first and foremost everything that I've ever wanted to do. And you know, life gets in the way, and you have to pay your bills, and you got to pay the student loans. And I had moved to New York City, and I was like, I'm gonna come here, and I'm gonna audition. I'm gonna do all this stuff, and like, I just worked, and so I was really good at what I did. I kind of scaled in the corporate world, and I think, you know, once I kind of started discovering drag, and I realized that like I absolutely loved it, and it just was this beautiful culmination of all of the facets in my toolbox, you know, I was like, this is it. And so I just had to make a commitment. I was like, I'm about to be 40. I'm still, it's the same thing. I'd always like do a I would tour somewhere and then come back and go to work, or I'd do a show and then go to work, and then I'd be like at work hating it and hating my life. And I was like, now's the time to actually like commit to the art form. Like, you're not getting any younger. Who knows how long you're going to be in New York City. If you don't try anything here, like, you're never going to do it. So I had been thinking about it for a while. I knew that I was taking a huge pay cut, like, but yeah. I was like, I had saved money, and I had enough gigs in New York City to where I could at least, you know, make my bills, right? And like make my bills and kind of support. And then I would just try it. So it just, like I said, it's one of those things where like you're always in the same, you have to make a decision. You have to commit to your life and to yourself and to what your destiny is, right? And if you don't make that commitment, no one else is going to do it for you. And so you just have to believe in yourself and do it and take that risk. It is the scariest thing, and it may or may not work. You don't know, but like, you have to do it. And the time came, and I had to pay. I had to do it.
From my understanding, you left your job full-time in about, was it 2017? And I hear rumor it was a short 2 days later that you received the phone call from Drag Race. Is that true?
Yeah. So I had gone back to work because I was panicking about money. And I was like in this job for like about a month. And I got, I couldn't do it. Like, I really literally, like, I hated it, and I had already auditioned. And I was like, look, that was the moment that it was like, this is a full on commitment. And it's not like, oh, I'm just going to work until they call or whatever. I was like, you have to make the decision and make the leap. And so I told my boss, I was like, I can't do this. Like, I can't, I gotta go. And I literally, 2 days later, I got the call from Drag Race. I was like, we're looking into you, we're doing this and that. And I was like, what? And then it just, you know, within a week, I was cast and on the show. And it just, you know, goes to show that like, when you tell the universe that you are ready for the blessings that are about to come to you, that's when those blessings come. And you have to be 100% committed to it. You can't be halfway. And I was halfway, even though I had already quit before, like I still was halfway, I went back. Yeah, I mean, it's the cliche, it's a thing, you know, it doesn't happen, but like, we hear about this a lot, but like, it really is true. Like, you have to command it, and you have to ask for it, and you have to
be ready for it. Like you said, you know, because I heard you say like destiny in there too. And that is something that I do believe to be true. What is meant for you will come for you, be around you. But you have to take the action, belief, have the full faith in it for it to become reality.
Absolutely. And it's not easy. And like, and it's always testing your faith in yourself, in your passion, in whatever you're doing. You know, you being an artist is not, it's not easy. It isn't. I mean, look at us now. Now we're like, you know, we're in this, we're living in this world where we can't really do our art. And so many artists are questioning. I question. Oh, I was like, oh my God, what did I do? What am I doing? And like, but you notice that the world needs us. And one of the things that I noticed about everything, about this, the pandemic happening, is everyone turned to the artist.
Yes.
That's how we find our solace. That's how we get through the thing. Everyone's on Netflix. Everyone's on the live shows. Everyone's reading. They're writing. They're like starting to cook. Do you know what I mean? Like they're start getting in these art forms that, you know, are important and that fuel the world. And so a lot of artists think that we're not valid, and we're the first ones to not get paid. We're the first ones that are and the last ones to go to work, right? Like after this. And so like, but like people are always looking to us. So, you know, you got to like keep that faith, even though we're not working, we're not getting paid. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, don't be foolish. Make sure you can eat and pay your rent. but you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you can't give up. You're all preaching to myself, honey. Cause I know. You know, I've been going through it. Like we all go through it. Yeah. It's not easy. So.
Absolutely not. Just trying to keep the light, keep the positivity about it, you know, but while maintaining realistic, you know, about like making sure that you are taken care of. It's a hard balance nowadays.
Yeah.
So in terms of RuPaul's Drag Race, what was the most surprising thing about it to you when you finally did arrive there?
What was the most surprising thing? I don't know if it was the arrival, but it was as the time goes on. Mm-hmm. That as the time goes on, you start to, I don't know. I hate to say unravel, but I think that's you know what I mean? Like you start to unravel. Like you go, like I went in so confident. Like I believe in myself, and I do believe in what I bring to this art form. And so you go there and you're doing it and you're like living, and then you start to unravel. Stuff starts to happen. Like you don't do as well as you thought, or like they're not really buying what you're doing, or you do really, really well, and then like the next week, like you start to get into the headspace of it all. And if you aren't mentally strong, like if you aren't just like and I shouldn't say mentally, it is a strength, but it's kind of like, what is that word that I'm looking for? Mentally persistent at like believing in yourself, you start to unravel. So you start to question everything. And so that was surprising to me. Like that was surprising to me. I just started to feel like, oh my God, like, I was I felt like I was serving. Like I know that I did some crazy stuff, but like
I knew you were a troll. Like personally, your face did not have to be blue. I knew personally that you were a troll.
Like, okay, bad example. That one actually was deserving of the bottom.
Hilarious. Yeah.
No, but like, yeah.
What was it like to be part of, a moment that is going to be Drag Race history forever? What was it like to be a part of like that 6-way lip sync so early on?
That was insanity. That was so such a surprise. I'd never seen RuPaul so mad. She was mad. You could feel the heat off of her. We just were like beside ourselves. And I think we were all just, you know, it's television, bitch. We should have thrown someone under the bus. I could have thrown any one of them under the bus. I mean, like, but like, I was like, kind of like, you know, we all kind of messed up. And so I was just kind of like, we did. And so I think, you know, at the end of the day, it was a television show. We should have thrown something. And she was like, oh, none of you going to do this? She's like, okay, then I'm going to make the television. So like, do you know what I mean?
Good Lord.
We were panicked. That was crazy. I don't remember the lip sync. I don't. I remember moments like being hit, being stepped on. I remember like salsa-ing for my life, bitch. When I watch it, I just die. I was like, what are you, que estás mezclando, girl? What are you mixing, honey? I was literally like, she was crazy. The beads were flying everywhere. I definitely blacked out, for sure.
Oh my God, I imagine.
And then, girl, they put me through it. I thought I was going home. It's when they left me to the end. I was like, oh, y'all are this is terrible. I was like, what did I do to you?
That's so funny. Why me?
Why are you putting me through this? It's crazy. I laugh about it. I still get a little PTSD when I hear that stupid song from J-Lo. And it wasn't even a real song. It was like some terrible ass remix.
Yeah. I'm like, I know. Yeah. It would have actually been better if it was just the normal song. Well, another historic moment. It was a personal moment for you, a big, nice victory. RuPaul's love of your eggplant purple gown. Who designed that one? And congrats on RuPaul, even himself saying, this is one of my favorite outfits I've ever seen on the runway, you know, period, in the show. And I agree.
Oh, thank you. That was amazing. So that was designed by a really good friend of mine, Christopher Palou. And if you don't know him, you should. He was on Project Runway and nice. Project Runway All-Stars. And he's incredible. You know, I love working with him. Him and I just like, we just get each other. And it's nice to go with him because for my whole journey, I wanted to tell a story. I wanted to tell a story of me, like from beginning to end. So like, you know, like being Spanish is a part of my heritage, and so I wanted to bring this flamenco-esque silhouette in, but change it, right? And purple is my favorite color, so we just kind of sat together. He started sketching. I think we had used it was a cover of a Vogue. Oh my God, I'm forgetting the year. It's like this. They had, I didn't want to say it was like, I don't know if it was in Spain Vogue or something like that, but it was this, I might've been Alexander McQueen. I don't even know, girl, but there was like all these three Spanish women like in classical things. And that was like, oh, I had taken that picture of hit of the three women on the cover. And so we just kind of went through the silhouette and came up with it. We shopped for the fabric for like a day, like hours and hours and hours. We couldn't find the right purples. But it was like fun because we were just like chilling and like having coffee and like living our lives. But yeah, that was amazing. I love the dress. It weighs 1,000,000 pounds.
I was about to ask, how heavy is it?
It is very, very heavy. It was heavy. It was so heavy. Like I say 50 pounds. It's not 50 pounds, but it's a good like 25 pounds maybe.
That's
it's
a heavy gown.
It's lined with neoprene. It's got these roses. Yeah, that experience was wild. I knew I had done well in the snatch game. And when we had this dress, I was so excited.
You were unbelievable in the snatch.
Thank you.
It was Charo. Unbelievable. It was.
Thank you. She's amazing. I love it. I knew I was in a good spot because usually, I don't know if I could talk about this, but I'm going to say it anyways. So we usually, when we tape the runway, we tape it going down to the music, and then the second time we do it again so RuPaul can say their shit. Well, they're usually quiet the first time, and I was walking down the runway, and just as I got like almost to the front, I heard her say, oh my God, I just love this dress.
Wow.
And like I just started, like I could feel like this warmth come over me, and I was like, oh bitch, I'm gonna serve this runway.
And you did. You take all that time and space to work.
Yeah.
So good. So Sugarcane, something I want to talk about is, where does your name come from? I have done a little bit of research, and I would love to see if you can confirm this. Okay. Your name is a combination of three different things. Sugar, azúcar, because you absolutely love sweets. Candace Kane is where the last name comes from.
Yep.
And then Sug Avery from The Color Purple.
Yes. I love, when I was a young thing, oh my gosh, it was, I guess, like sixth grade, so I would have been like 12. I had seen The Color Purple, and I loved it. I loved the story. And I watched it I would get up really early before school and watch it before school. And if I didn't finish it, I'd come home and finish it and then watch it again. And so I was doing that like every day. Like my cassette tape was warped out. I know the kids don't know what cassette tape is. The VHS. Yeah. VHS. It's an old technology. But I just loved it. And I loved that relationship between Suge and Celie. I thought, and then it was like, it ended up being like this queer relationship. I was being 12 and from a Latino family, and I lived in this very conservative mountain town. Like, to see that was very, like, do you know what I mean? Shocking, but then also affirming, you know? And I loved her. I loved her character. I just, there's something about her that was just so pure, but so broken, and just,
she was ready to have a good time too. You know, she is the life of the party.
Girl, I mean, hey man, I would say she's a hoe. I was a hoe. She likes the hooch. I like the hooch. Like, I mean.
Yeah.
So yeah, Shook Avery. That was my favorite. I used to sing Sister from the Miss Celie's Blues all the time when I first started drag.
So good.
So yeah, and then all of it. All of it's confirmed. Candace Kane, I remember watching Wigstock, the documentary by, it was also on VHS, about Lady Bunny's big event. And that's the first time I was ever introduced to Candace. And there was something about her that I was just like completely drawn to. I can't even tell you. It was everything about her, and I just absolutely loved her. And I've always been a huge fan and idolized her like my entire life. And so it's just, I don't know. One day they just all kind of, it just, you know how things just appear to you. They just appeared to me, and that's how this bitch was born.
And so happy she was. Another question that we got from one of the audience is, when can we expect more YouTube content?
Oh.
Because they're hungry for it. The kids are hungry for the bacon.
The kids are hungry for it. So, you know, it's coming. It is going to be more baking centered. I've actually started, because, you know, we're not working, I'm starting a Patreon page. This thing called Baking Queen is a new project that I've been working on. And so to the folks who are part of the Patreon page will have access to, you know, me baking. I love the Great British Bake Off. I'm about to like bake through some stuff I've never even done before.
Fun.
In my American kitchen with the grams, which I've never done before, with like flowers and things. They call stuff different. We're just going to see. So I'm doing that. I'm going to be doing like family recipes on there and giving the kids that kind of thing. Secret recipes that I use for baking that I don't really share. So if you're part of the Patreon, you'll get those types of things. But like, I'm working on delivering these monthly kind of epic kind of baking things for YouTube for the kids. And so
that's super
I'm doing
fun.
and whatever else this little brain
whatever
can
pops
doctor
up,
you know.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna just go through a couple of these last questions that I had from the audience. Let's see. Who did you bond with most from your season of Drag Race? Who were you surprised to find yourself bonded with?
The two that I've bonded with the most, and I wouldn't say like, I'm not really surprised about it, but like Scarlett. Well, definitely New York sisters, Scarlett and Honey. Honey and I have gotten really, really close in this past year. Scarlett and I just always got along. And so her and I have just always been just really wonderful friends. For that, and I never met her before. And it's funny because when she first walked in the workroom, I could not stand her. I was like, I can't stand this bitch. I just cannot. But I absolutely adore her. But another one that I would do anything for this queen. Mercedes Iman Diamond is literally one of the most beautiful people I've ever met in my life. She's so fun and crazy. Like she is wild, but her heart is just like one of the most beautiful things. And so that like those three, we call each other and you know, we keep in touch and check in on each other. And those three are like my homegirls.
That's wonderful.
I love them.
What musical artist could you slay every time in a lip sync, bar none? Who's that person for you?
I'm gonna go with some Jennifer Hudson.
Really love that.
Some Jennifer Hudson, like, because it is all about the vocal. Nice. Anything by her. I mean, I'm blanking on the the love, the give me love from Sex and the City. Mm-hmm. All of her
when
stuff,
she performed, there's a version of the song I'm Here from The Color Purple that she performed. Was it for Oprah? Like, it was at some sort of Kennedy Center honors years ago, and she performs the song I'm Here with a full-blown choir.
She's amazing.
It's, I think, one of the most brilliant and perfect performances just ever.
She's just, like, her voice, it's about the voice for me. I live, she does the tribute to Aretha Franklin that she did. Was just, like, I love a very strong, like, emotive vocal. Like, that kind of stuff I live for.
I think she's a highly underrated storyteller.
It is. I mean, a lot of people don't. I mean, like, girl, I love her to pieces, but she can't act. I can act for her.
Like,
you just saying, let me just act for you. I know it's an obscure choice. I was not going to say Ariana Grande, girl. Look at me.
No.
I like to think I look like her, but no. Maybe her in like 30 years.
And then what piece of advice you can give for somebody who is new to drag?
Don't do it. No, I'm just kidding.
You're like, get out of here.
I always tell them kids, no. If somebody's new to drag, I would just say perfect all your stuff. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it is drag, follow the girls that you admire. Support those girls. Try to, emulate, learn those things from them. Like, people, like, for me, like, I looked up to, like, Shangela was, like, amazing for me. She's just so, she's so easy in her comedy, in her connection, in her performances. Like, it's
very warm.
That's so, I love that about her. So I was always, like, anything she did, I was looking at her. I was like, how is she doing this? Like, how is she connecting with people? Chad Michaels, for me, was someone who, like, is just, like,
perfection.
Girl, like, polish. I mean, she's stunning and the commitment. And so I was looking at girls like that. There's a queen here in New York City called Shaquita Hall who I, like.
I am very, very familiar with Shaquita.
I could go into many things. Like, I loved her to pieces. She's hateful to me. No, just kidding. But I love her. But, like, for her, she was someone that I just looked up to a lot. And I just was like, whatever she was doing, I was like, oh, like, pay attention, because there's dedication to the craft. Like, yes, you can paint. Yes, you have to do all that. But, like, what sets these girls apart from everyone else? And what is it about them that that really captures you? And those are the things that you pay attention to. So, find those girls, support them, and but, like, just work on it, girl.
Absolutely.
Learn how to sew, learn how to do hair, learn how to do it all by yourself, because
a lot of times you will be doing it by yourself.
I still do a lot of stuff.
Our final question from I'll go two more from the audience. One, would you ever compete on an international All-Stars if that ever happened and you were invited?
Oh, absolutely. I have been waiting for that. I mean,
we keep putting it out in the universe, and hopefully the frequency will get picked up. You listen to World of Wonder?
Absolutely. I think that is, like, brilliant. I mean, they're all over the place. They're just adding more and adding more. There is going to be a drag queen of the world or whatever. I mean, it's happening, and I would 100%.
And it would be an absolute pleasure to see you there as well. I would be so thrilled to see more. And then this one comes. Okay, how much do you love your fiance?
How much? Uh-huh. Oh, is this from him?
Yes, it is.
How did I know this? Of course,
it is.
He's always up to something.
He's cute, and he seems incredibly supportive. Like, what I was like looking at, like,
he's incredible. Like, he has always been a fan of drag before Sugar was born. Mm-hmm. When we first met, we used to go to Dream Girls in San Diego and see Chad and I'm blanking on all the girls.
It's Chad, Mayhem, Morgan McMichael.
Morgan.
Raven sometimes.
Yeah, Raven someone's over there. All the girls. And so, like, we used to go anyways. He's so supportive. And, like, when I started doing it, like, he loves it. Like, I wouldn't have done it without him. Mm-hmm. Like, he's the one who really kind of pushed me to try it. And then that's how I loved it. And then, I mean, we ground each other and he keeps me grounded. I'm crazy girl. Like yeah. Everyone sees me so loving and this and that, but bitch, I'm every artist is crazy. Yeah. And so like, he really can just like keep me like centered, and he's super supportive. And I'm so grateful that we have each other and that we have this relationship and this friendship.
A brilliant partnership. It sounds like, you know, a good balance.
It's incredible. He's amazing. I love him so much.
Well, we are going to move into the final section of the podcast, a section I like to call Passions Lately.
Oh.
Yes.
Quite simply, Suga, what are you passionate about lately? Now, this doesn't have to be serious. In fact, what my passion lately is, have you ever been familiar with those Inside the Actor Studios interviews, mm-hmm. James Lipton? I forgot how obsessed I was as a child, like, with those. And I have very recently been going back and, like, really taking yes. them back in. As an adult, I have so much more to learn from them, you know? Sat down and watched the Robin Williams one the other day. Man. I ordered the Barbara Streisand. It's in the yes. mail on its way. And so I've just been, like, very passionate about James Lipton and his interview style. It influences what I'm doing here now. And it's just like so funny to go back to the source of it for myself. So that's my passion.
That's incredible. I think that's so great. It's so funny you say that, because I think the one thing that it's very similar. I've been obsessed with Masterclass. So last year I was like a buy one, get one. I had gifted it to a friend and I ended up getting like a free thing. And like, it's for the same exact reasons. Like, artists are amazing people. And like, but then they also have things like, there's this guy, he's an FBI interrogator. Mm. And it's all about, this whole masterclass is about the art of negotiation and like how you negotiate with people. And like,
cool.
It's fascinating to see people who are amazing at what they do, like experts at their craft, talk about how they do what they do. Mm-hmm. And I'm on the Shonda Rhimes one right now. And she's amazing. I mean, and so inspirational, but like, really, it's for someone to take you in, like, and tell you, this is how I write. So I've been watching How to Get Away with Murder.
Nice.
Because of it, and like dissecting that thing down. It's crazy. So like, we're here. Like, what else am I gonna do? It's like, if I'm gonna watch television, let me learn something, like really yeah. learn something about it. And so yeah, I'm obsessed. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
there's one there, speaking of Robin Williams in mind, there's a, it's not in his interview Inside the Actor's Studio, but there is a specific interview, and it's super easy to find on YouTube. But if you look up Craig Ferguson, he interviews Robin Williams on whatever his show was, the late uh-huh. show with Craig Ferguson. It is like a 25 minute interview between Robin Williams and him. And it's the best improv that I've ever seen. The way that the two work off of each other is unbelievable and makes me bust a gut every time. So I would highly amazing. Recommend that.
I will definitely watch that, because I, you know, that's amazing.
Yeah. And it's just nice to take a moment away from the craziness of the world yeah. and you know, laugh.
yes, we need more laughter for sure.
Then before we go, what's your social media? Do you have anything else you would like to promote, or how can people keep up with your work better?
Absolutely. Social media, it's all at Miss Suga Cane. I'm on the Twitter, all of that, girl. I just started the TikTok. I am obsessed with TikTok. That's a new thing I'm obsessed with. So yeah, I'm like at Miss Suga Cane at everything, Facebook, Twitter, socials. You can follow what I'm up to there, or my website at shugsweetshop.com. Yeah, like, there's going to be more singing and more baking. Yes. And you're hearing it here first, because this comes out on the 7th, right?
Yes, it'll come out this upcoming Monday.
work. So tomorrow on the 8th, I'm dropping a remix album of my Sweet Love CD. So like there's like 6 tracks on there, 6 different remixes. Ready. So super fun. I worked with some DJs around, like, so it's gonna be fun. So that'd be fun, like just to throw down. So that's coming out. But yeah, more baking, more singing, and just trying to live.
Perfect. I understand. Well, I'm really, really excited for the 8th. Again, make sure to go download, order, share, spread their new track. You know, it's out today everywhere. The music video is incredible. Make sure you go enjoy Sweet Love everywhere you can.
Thank you.
Our final question for the pod. What is the most recent thing that has happened to you that has made you purely happy?
This morning when I had woken up and the album had released and I hadn't had my coffee yet, which is crazy because how can I be happy without my coffee? But I was just sitting and it was a moment of being grateful. That I get to do what I get to do, right? Like the album was out, or the song was out. The song was out. The response was good. I started to reflect on everyone that was a part of it. My friends who worked tirelessly. I have 2 good friends, Preston and Julian, who are did visual effects and directed the thing. They've been like they haven't been sleeping for like a week. They've just been working on this video, and just like being grateful for all the people that were a part of it and like being able to live out a dream of mine. And like, I sat like those moments are rare. Mm-hmm. When it's, those moments aren't rare. And when they come, you have to sit in that glory and that blessing. Yeah. And I just was, it's been a while since I felt that joy. So it was this morning.
So oh, that's so question. Good. That's a perfect place to end things with that lovely story. Again, make sure to follow Sugarcane on all social media. You can follow me at AholeHuman on Insta, patreon.com/eyetoeyepodcast. You know all the things.
Amen.
And thank you so much for joining me on Eye to Eye today, Sugarcane. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. This was so much fun. And I'm so happy for the work that you're doing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks. Oh. And thank you, listeners, for being here with us. Now go outside. We'll be here and gayer when you get back.